This message is the property of H. David Edwards and Elam Bible Institute, and presented free of charge for private use only. Permission to use this message publicly may be requested by contacting Elam Bible Institute at 7245 College Street, Lima, New York, 14485.
Like to sing one more song as well. The song that takes a little verse that I'm sure many of us have heard to the point of it becoming trite. It says, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I believe that it's appropriate for us to consider this. Only one life that we have. Every minute that we have counts. I'm reminded of that little, little comic or something, whatever, that was in the student newspaper just this last week
So many of us tend to put off. We think about a ministry in future terms. We think about going and doing something in future terms. Well, when this happens, then I'll do this. When this happens, I'll do that. When I have, a kid says, when I grow up, I'll do this. When someone goes to college, well, when I finish college, I'll do this. When someone finishes college, well, after a few years of maybe getting out and getting myself established, every time we go off, and pretty soon we realize that the life that we have been given has been misused. The life that we have been given has been wasted. Only one life. It'll pass very soon. Only what's done for Christ will last.
I found myself on the horns of a dilemma as I endeavored to prepare myself for this morning service, because I view this Sunday as one of the most important Sundays in the whole of our year. And before I knew that I would have the privilege of sharing with you on the Sunday morning of our annual missionary convention, I had committed myself to the study of five feasts which are recorded in the Gospel of John. And as the time grew near, I began to wonder about the appropriateness for the section that I had arrived at for the Sunday morning. So considered that possibly it would be right for me to turn to some other part of the scripture which would be more suited for a missionary occasion. There are a number of favorite chapters that we have on missionary Sundays. And I sought to find peace in my own soul and a scripture that would be appropriate. One of the scriptures that was on the fringe of my mind was the question that Joab put to a young man shortly after Joab had killed Absalom at the end of his rebellion. Someone had to break the news to the king. And Ahimaaz was anxious to be the messenger. And Joab said no. But Ahimaaz persisted. He said, commission me as the messenger to tell David. And Joab said, why are you so anxious to run when really you have nothing to say? I thought about the fact that we can have a missionary urge without a missionary message. And I wondered for a time whether I would not be a striking illustration of that philosophy or that idea. Here with nothing to say. But I found that in spite of the way that that scripture had drawn my attention, that I was almost irresistibly pressed back to John chapter 5. Of course, the whole of the scriptures really are missionary scriptures. If you have a missionary heart, you can find a missionary text anywhere between Genesis and Revelation. I found that two things were happening. I found that I was brooding over the scripture and at the same time almost strangling it. Because I wanted to find out what it had to say. What was it saying to me? Why was it that I was locked into this paragraph in John chapter 5 between verse 17 and 30? Because on the last occasion that I had opportunity of sharing with you, we talked about the incident but said nothing about the explanation. We talked about the miracle but said nothing about the reaction. Jesus had performed this miracle as a testimony to his holiness. They saw it as the fruit of his wickedness. He did it as a labor of love. They saw it as an act of evil. He had done it as healing. They had seen it as injury. He did it because it was good. They hated it because it was different. He had done it as an act of obedience. They saw it as an act of rebellion. And they hated him because he had done it on the Sabbath day. By way of explanation, he announced his dependence. They heard his claim to equality. And I meditated upon what he had to say and saw in some significant verses that his apology, his defense was very appropriate for the theme of our meditation this morning. I would like to cite for you, mission commenced, my Father worketh hitherto. Mission continued, and I work. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. And mission completed. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear that shall live. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Mission commenced. My Father worketh hitherto. Mission activity is not a human endeavor that God blesses. I wonder what the reaction of my brethren would be if I introduced a period at that point. They might be looking for my resignation, or else they would ensure that never again would I participate in a mission convention. Let me go back and complete the sentence. Mission activity is not human endeavor that God blesses. It is rather a divine initiative in which He seeks for our cooperation. Mission activity does not begin on earth, it begins in heaven. My Father worketh hitherto. From the beginning, this is how it has been. For the work of creation from which He rested was not God's end. It was only a stage that He was setting for the program of mission activity which had been in His heart from the beginning. For redemption was His purpose. And creation was only that which was a prior activity in order to secure the program of redemption. You can engage in mission activity from a number of motivations, biblical motivations. You might engage in mission activity out of loyalty and obedience to the command of the King who said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." You can engage in mission activity out of loyalty. You might also engage in it out of theology. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And He is not content merely with seeking. For His seeking is intended to culminate in saving that which was lost. You can engage in mission activity from philanthropic motives. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And the Christian is neighbor to the rest of the world. You can engage in missionary activity from fiduciary or economic motives. As you will see if you read in Matthew 24 verses 45 through 51, where our Lord speaks about stewardship. You can recognize that to whom much is committed, much will be required of him. And that servant who kneweth to do his will and doeth it not shall be beaten with many stripes. You can engage in mission activity for any one of these or a mixture of them. But I think that we miss the point unless we see mission as divine activity in which He invites our cooperation. It's not our endeavor in which we are hoping to interest God. It's not that we are seeking to attract His attention in order that He might strengthen our efforts. It's rather the whole purpose of His heart. Hallelujah. My Father worketh. I'm impressed with the idea of God as a laborer, getting His hands dirty. I think that many of us are looking for executive positions in the kingdom of God. There aren't any that are vacant. He is looking for those who will be fellow laborers. What a dignity. What an insult to suggest to God that He doesn't have a profession, He has a trade. But that's not a defect, that's His hallmark. That's something in which we can make our boast. He's willing to get His hands dirty in redemption. Have you ever been misled by an advertisement? Ever seen an advertisement which has said, "Junior executive required to make sweeping changes," and found out that the man's looking for a janitor? An ad which says, "Interesting opportunity to young man looking for the right opening." You find out that it's an elevator operator. Jesus will say, "I will appoint unto you thrones, and I will make you princes." But then He takes a towel and girds Himself and He says, "I left you an example so that what I have done to you, you might also do to each other." There's no place for executives in the kingdom of God. There's a place for those who will labor. My Father worketh hitherto. For us, a missionary is a man with a pith helmet, sunglasses perhaps, sunburned knees, maybe a little disheveled. And he's obviously out of touch and out of date. And maybe he's a man who couldn't make it in his own country. A popular concept of a missionary. But the missionary, if he is a man after God's own heart, is a man who labors.
whose soul has no rest because of his labor. Mission activity is not the exporting of culture. Mission activity is not East and West activity. It is not economically based. It's not a matter of civilization, as though all the heathen needed was clothes. Better to be a naked Christian than a uniform pagan. Better to be an ignorant Christian than an educated heathen.
The invasion is perpendicular, not horizontal. For the invasion is the invasion of heaven to earth. And the export is God, not culture. So that it is more than a cultural exchange. For mission confronts our culture as much as it confronts all cultures. My Father worketh hitherto. It's been well said, God only had one son and he was a missionary. And the Holy Ghost was a travel agent. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And he wholly identified himself with the people to whom he was sent. For he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And all of his seed are sent ones. For every Christian is a missionary. Water is an essential factor for the making of a missionary. The more of it, the more missionary you are. You're not a missionary unless you cross water. It's the crossing of the water that makes you a missionary. Every Christian is a missionary. Every Christian is an apostle. Every Christian is a sent one. And fulfilling our responsibilities might involve geographic relocation. But geographic relocation is not an imperative. It's not essential. For the sending is not from America to Africa. The sending again, let me say, is from heaven to earth. The whole earth is God's mission field. My Father worketh. No one of us will ever adequately express the burden that there is on the heart of God. I have a friend, and he tells how in one missionary prayer meeting, in vision, a Congolese pygmy stood before him. And he prayed earnestly and in anguish for the salvation of that man's soul. So desperately and so real was the vision that my friend says, when I get to heaven, I expect to be able to identify him. We ought not to be surprised at that. For after all, it was a man of Macedonia who stood before the Apostle Paul and said, come over and help us. But I want to say this to you, that if all of us had an experience of that kind, we would not corporately exhaust the agony that there is in the heart of God. For if there were only one left who didn't know, the hurt would still be his. And I would say to you that if there were only one, what we would hear from the heart of God is still, ask of me, and I will give thee that one heathen. My Father worketh hitherto. Let me say again, mission is not a human endeavor which God blesses. It is a divine activity in which he seeks for our cooperation. What a privilege. We should be fellow laborers with the Almighty. The work continued. The Son can do nothing of himself. Didn't look like it, did it? After all, walking on the water, raising the dead, feeding the multitude, that's the kind of nothing I would like to do. If I were to do anything approximate to that, I would say, my, isn't that something? He did a lot like that, and he said, that's nothing. He's not talking about his inability, he's talking about his dependence. The last lesson we want to learn was the first lesson that he learned. The Son can do nothing of himself. The Father doeth the works. The Father's will for him was never irksome. The Father's will for him was never abstract. It's all very well for us to sing, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, as long as we don't know where it is that he wants us to go. That makes it easy to sing. It's easy to sing that when the only place that you know he wants you to go is the dormitory or the snack bar. But the Father's will for him was not an altar call. It was not an emotional response to a missionary sermon. The Father's will for him was the basis of his life. He knew no activity which was not involved in his Father's will. His Father's will was the principle, the power, the pattern, the pleasure of his life. He said, I have meat to eat that he don't know anything about. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's the only thing that matters in life. And let me say, I am of the opinion that God's will is never abstract. Because if his will were abstract, my obedience could be equally abstract. And my rebellion is only demonstrated because his will is specific. It's always concrete and specific. And his conscience endorsed it. He said, I do always those things that please my Father. I don't do anything that is an offense to him. I don't do anything in which he is not previously involved. And his Father was pleased to answer. After 30 years in which nothing had happened, as far as we are concerned, 30 silent years. And yet the testimony of heaven was, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And again on the Mount of Transfiguration, similarly, this is my beloved Son, who satisfies my heart. Jesus never initiated anything. He was original man, originated nothing. The thing that we want to be above all else is to be original. The last thing we want to be is imitators. If we say something, we want to say something that no one else has said before us, because that's our claim to fame. His claim to fame was, I only tell you the things that I've already been told myself. The Son can do nothing of himself. He who was before all things did only those things that he had seen his Father doing. Mission commenced, mission continued, mission completed. Let me read these verses again because I find them exciting. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as a Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Mission activity is not intellectual nor emotional, although it is both rational and has feeling. But mission activity is dynamic. The test to which we must expose any alternative gospel is, can it make a dead man live? Because our need is not in our doubt, in our ignorance. Our need is in our death. And the test to which we must expose any philosophy which is offered as a substitute for the rule of God in the heart of man is, can it make a dead man live? You don't complete the gospel by putting clothes on him. You don't complete the gospel by educating him. The test is, can it make a dead man alive? Can it make a bad man good? The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. I had a friend who was a pharmacist and an alcoholic, and by virtue of his profession had a peculiar opportunity to engage himself in his weakness. On one occasion he found that he had exhausted the stock of liquor which was a part of his pharmaceutical supplies, and he knew that he was going to be detected. And so determined in his despair that he would end his life, dismissed the staff of the pharmacy that he was managing, locked the doors, and then found some cyanide, potassium cyanide. Just a few grains of that are fatal. Some members of his staff had noticed the tension under which he had been laboring that day, and so warned the police of what they thought might be happening. A policeman arrived as my friend was standing in the door with potassium cyanide in his hand, ready to drink it. And the policeman, recognizing what he was doing, jumped through the plate glass door and knocked my friend over on the other side. He was so anxious to die that he crawled on his hands and knees trying to lick up some of the grains of potassium cyanide from the floor. Now, attempted suicide is a punishable offense in England. My friend was sentenced to 3 weeks examination in a psychiatric institution in order to determine whether or not at the time of this endeavor he was of unsound mind. When he had been confined in that place for about 5 days, something inexplicable happened to him. The fruit of what had happened was so obvious that he was immediately discharged after about 8 days rather than the 21. And he was advised to be in contact with Alcoholics Anonymous. The member of AA to whom he was introduced was a physician. And sitting in the physician's office, my friend picked up a book that he thought was a book of poems. It was actually a hymn book. And turning over its pages, he read something and he said, "That's what happened to me." And what he read was this: "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Hallelujah. The test of the gospel is, can it make a dead man alive? Can it make a bad man good? I tell you that Jesus said that mission ends in the dead hearing the voice of the Son of God and living. For our need is not clothes except the garment of righteousness that he provides. And our need is not education except the light on his truth that the Holy Spirit provides. Our need rather is that we were dead in our sins and we needed someone to resurrect us. But there's more to salvation than reformation. There's not only that resurrection of which we are now participating, but there is that ultimate resurrection as well. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to come a time when, as the scripture has said, all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Some are going to be resurrected because time on God's clock. But I'm not going to be resurrected because it's time on God's clock. I'm going to be resurrected because I've got resurrection life. Not because it's time, but because I'm already resurrected and alive. It's good to think of resurrection and eternity. Some of you have heard me speak about eternity. And I've been aware that as I have spoken about eternity, some of my brethren have been troubled. And I have been troubled because my brethren have been troubled. I've had to examine as carefully as I can my own approach to eternity. And I recognize that eternity is woven into the warp and woof of my nature. So much so that I don't even have to think about it. It's basic to my approach to everything that happens to me. How will it stand in the light of eternity? How will my reaction measure up in the light of eternity? How shall I relate to this situation in the light of eternity? I tell you, it's good to think about resurrection. When we consider uncompleted tasks, not all of us are going to be able to say, "I have finished my course." Some of us will come to an end when we'll have to finish with the task half done. But it's good to think about eternity in the light of uncompleted tasks, because one of the promises of eternity is his servants shall serve him. Amen. I'm never going to get tired in eternity, I promise you. I'm never going to get lazy. I'm never going to run out of things to do. I'm never going to run out of ideas. Never going to be sick. What a glorious prospect that is. Throughout the whole of eternity, I shall be able to serve him in a way that will please his heart. I don't ask any more out of life now. Why should I ask any more out of eternity? It's good to think of eternity in the light of the inequalities that face us, the inequities of life. Your neighbor's crime is undetected and your labor is unrewarded. That's sometimes difficult, isn't it? He gets away with it and you don't. One of these days the books are going to be opened. It's good to think of eternity in the light of unrealized hopes. I want to be more holy than I am. I want to be. Desperately, I want to be. You know what's going to happen one of these days? One of these days, the Lord of all life is going to say, he that is holy, let him be holy still. I will be holy beyond the possibility of sinning. You see, not only is the test of all alternative gospels, can it make a dead man live? Can it make a bad man good? The test of all other alien philosophies is, what happens afterwards? You ask a communist, you ask a materialist, you ask any man who doesn't embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, a question in two words, what then? He'll spell out his program for you, he'll tell you of his goals, all of which are temporary. You ask him a question, what then? And there comes a time he's got to say, nothing. Nothing. What would have happened if Art Dodds-White had been more successful as a communist than he was as a Christian? What would happen if Arthur Dodds-White, in his life and in his ministry, had been able to embody total success for all the alien philosophies and gospels that oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if he had been able to achieve in his lifetime all the dreams of every atheist, every materialist, every communist? What if? I'll tell you what if. Over it all you would have had to say, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, when a bus runs over him, that's the end. There's nothing more. But I'll tell you that as far as our mission is concerned, you can say, the dead that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Hallelujah. What a prospect. That's what we're involved in. Not lifting up Elim's name and establishing it, but it's announcing God's work. God's work. The good news that we announce to every man is that God is at work. God is at work. My Father worketh hitherto. Don't ask that God should bless the work that you are doing. Rather, join the work he's blessing. God's got a mission heart. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's just sing, he is Lord, he is Lord, he's risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee must bow. Now, stand with me for one moment and change your position, and we'll close our service very briefly. Praise the Lord.
He is Lord. Christ.